today as we come to the table.
But as we get older in the Lord, we begin to have a little bit more grace and say, okay, you know what? They're young in the Lord. There's an area they need to grow here. You be gracious. And Moses was more mature in the Lord, so Moses is gracious with them, although I know these guys probably just pushed Moses to the limit. But the bottom line is that, you know, they're in a place where they were grumbling and complaining because of their immaturity, and it's amazing how quickly the immature Christian can go from rejoicing in the world to fussing at it. You know, God, how could you? God, why did you? We're going to see that with the children of Israel. And a lot of times after the great victories, again, come the attack. Why is that? You know, God wants to test us, and God allows the enemy. Number two, the enemy will come in and attack then because he wants to steal our joy.
Everyone has times of difficulty in their life. Yours may not look like someone else's, but it's still significant, and it's a chance for you to trust God. Today, Pastor Mark will be sharing a difficult circumstance the Israelites find themselves in and how the reaction may not be one we want to copy. Yet even in their complaining, God comes through. Well, thanks for staying with us today as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Pastor Mark Kirk of Calvary Knoxville. When trials enter your life, is your first response complaining? Instead of wallowing in the darkness of it all, change your perspective. Look to Jesus. Let him fill you up with joy and peace, and then allow him to take care of the problem. He will, and it will be better than your solution. No offense. Now, join Pastor Mark in Exodus chapter 15 as he begins his message, God's leading into testing, making the bitter sweet.
We're ready. Good to see you guys. Welcome. Glad you're here. Looking forward to getting the word. You know, it's just good to settle in and just kind of let the Lord minister, isn't it? And I'm expecting God to do that, guys. I sense in my spirit that a lot of you guys are going through some tough times. There's always the warfare. We know about that. But with the message tonight and really where we are in the message tonight, you know, God will oftentimes have us in a place where, you know, in the message is where we are as a body. So being sensitive to that, you know, some of you guys are going through some pretty intense testing tonight. You know, when we look at this whole picture of God bringing the children of Israel out of Egypt, bringing the believer out of the world and toward the promised land, there are a lot of obstacles that we face. It's not always easy. As a matter of fact, a lot of times it's very hard. But I think having an understanding of what's going on makes it palatable. You know, when you understand there's a purpose for this. What we're going to see tonight is they're going to go through a very tough time of testing, not just the people, but even Moses and how Moses handles it. And we don't hear a lot about Moses tonight and the way he's going to handle this, but it appears he did well. But the bottom line is, as I thought through this whole thing, Moses went through testing just like the children of Israel because he was the one having to kind of, you know, put up with them and somehow let God's love shine through him to them because of all they were putting him through and all the, you know, the whole picture tonight. Is really something that is going to be, I think, very applicable to our lives. And so let's open up to Exodus chapter 15. And if you remember where we left off last time, we made it through verse 21. Let's read it first. Notice there in verse 22, it says, so Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went into the wilderness of Shur. And they went 3 days into the wilderness and found no water. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. And therefore the name of it was called Marah. And the people complained against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? And he cried out to the Lord. And the Lord showed him a tree. And when he cast it in the waters were made sweet. And there he made a statute and an ordinance for them, and there he tested them. And he said, if you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments and keep all of his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you which I have brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. And then they came to Elim, where there were 12 wells of water and 70 palm trees, and so they camped there by the waters. I've got this entitled God's Leading into Testing, but as I was praying beforehand, another good title for this, because it talks a lot about testing. But another real good title for this, if you're taking notes and you like to kind of remember a theme for it, would be Making the Bitter Sweet. And I almost like that better than God's Leading Into Testing, but I've already got it on my notes and it's probably on the tape, so I'll stick with that. But anyway, God's Leading Into Testing. Now, why was it? Notice I said tonight we're going to be talking about God's leading into testing, not God's leading into tempting. Remember, the Bible says that God will never lead us into temptation, but God will lead us into testing to show us where we are in the Lord. So here's some reasons for testing. God, why are you allowing this test? Because I want to show you how mature you are. If you're real mature, you won't grumble, you won't complain, and you're going to come out with flying colors if you're mature. If you're not mature, you're going to grumble, you're going to complain, and you'll probably cause other people problems too. But that's okay. Don't panic. I know it's there. I wanted you to know it was there, and now we can work together to get rid of it. You see how wonderful this is? See, I don't like failing tests, but I love it when I see the test and God does it and I see how I've failed. Because it shows me, okay, our Lord, I am immature in that area. Please mature me. See, the good news is we can say, God, I repent. And number two, okay, I see it now. I'm with you. Help me. I don't want to do that again. I don't want to grumble when that happens. I don't want to complain when that happens. I don't want to freak out when that happens. I don't want to be anxious when that happens. I don't want to cause anguish to my other brothers and sisters because of my immaturity. And I see it. I recognize it. I can't deny it. Lord, deal with me. And we've all been there. That's some of the main reasons for testing. He knows where we are, but God wants us to see where we are. And also, another reason for testing is that God wants us to grow and mature. And when the test reveals it, we'll be driven to pray and we'll grow and mature. And another reason for testing, which usually is passed later in life, that's why the tests seem to get harder the older we get in the Lord, is to prove us. You know, you can't tell whether or not a bridge is going to hold until you put some weight on it. It can be the most beautiful bridge you've ever seen. It's like, wow, man, that is a strong bridge. Really? One of the Thresh kids, I forget which one it was, made this bridge out of balsa wood. It was a project. And it was a bridge out of balsa wood that, you know, this really lightweight wood that you could just break really easy. I mean, balsa wood's not tough. Everybody with me on that? But she had designed it for her project and learned how to design it in such a way where it was self-supporting of the weight. So as you put weight on it, it would hold that weight. And they were able to put large amounts of weight, way more weight on it than it would ever normally hold. In Israel, when we go to Israel, they have, you'll notice these arches when you go. If you guys get to go, I wish I could take everybody. I really do. If I had the money and God gave it to us, I would take the entire church. We'd close down for 2 weeks. The entire church would just load on jumbo jets and we would go to Israel. I really would. I'm not just saying that. I would love to. Look at you clapping. Wouldn't that be great? So somebody's a multi-billionaire listening to this and you want to send an entire church to Israel, then we'd love to go. Anyway, I just wish y'all could be there. When I'm there, I just think, man, I wish they could be there with me. There's so much I wanted you to see. You'll notice these arches in the buildings, the way they designed them. In many of the buildings we go in, the stones angle in like this. There'll be that keystone, is it called a keystone, right there in the middle? And then they all angle in like this and kind of work around the corner. And with that kind of design, it is ingenious because what happens is the more weight you put on it, the stronger it gets. Isn't that awesome? Which means you don't have to worry about it breaking or collapsing. The more weight you pile on top, the rocks push into each other. So the actual weight of the pressure makes the bridge stronger with the more weight you put on it. So it's like, no, don't anybody else get on it. Yes, more get on it because it feels like it could fall, you know. That's what God wants your shoulders to be like as a believer. He wants you to be so focused in on the Lord, the keystone, your rock, Jesus Christ. Everything in your life is focal, your work, your family, all your life is so focused in on him that the more weight he puts on it, it's not that it doesn't, you know, you don't feel the weight, but all the weight pushes in on him because it forces us to focus on him and not ourselves, right? It forces us to focus on him and not the other stones around us. We're pushing in on the Lord. It drives us to him. The weight pushes us in and we can actually hold more than we could ever possibly hold by that. It's an amazing thing. That is the lesson that God wants the children of Israel to learn tonight in this passage. And that's the lesson that he wants us to learn. You know, as I go through tests, I look back over the years and God will send us all through these different tests. In every one of them, pretty much, I think I've probably failed except ones that have been repeated and I figured it out and did it right. But as the tests come back around again, I start thinking, I don't want to fail this time. Last time when this happened, I panicked, I got anxious and I said, oh no, what are we going to do? I don't want to get stressed and panic and say, oh no, what are we going to do this time? I have determined in my heart, I'm just going to say, I trust you. I don't like this. It's hard. It's ugly. It hurts. It's coming in from all sides. I don't have the answers, but you know what? Last time I panicked and you were faithful. This time I'm just going to not panic. And you know what? You're still going to be faithful. You read the stories of the Bible and you follow other believers, somehow we all get to the end and make it, don't we? We really do, but when we're in the midst of it, we think we're not going to. I'm not diminishing the pressure of the test. I'm not diminishing the anguish, the disheartenment, the being upset, all the things that go with that. But I'm telling you, God, what happens in those, the second time around for me, I find my stones are aiming more in this time. I used to be straight down on the weight, you know, and I'm like, how can I do this? And come on, you know, just, you know, whatever. And maybe it's even grabbing other brothers and sisters, you know, pulling them beside you, which is a good thing because the Bible says to pray with one another and we need that strength. I'm not taking away from the benefit of a brother and sister in need. But what the Lord wants us is to eventually learn to need Him. You see, the more the trials come, the more we turn inward toward the Lord. And we say, you know what? I'm so thankful for all my brothers and sisters around me, but I need Jesus. And only He can give me the strength I need to hold this weight. And I find that He does that for me. I find my stone turning more inward toward Him, so to speak, in that analogy. And I'm depending more on Him. And even now, in the trials that come now, that's what I do. I just say, Lord, you know what? I don't have strength. You're going to have to fight this battle. I can't do it. And there's this neat thing that happens because when I do that, I feel this power that comes into my life and God begins to carry me and fight the battle. The problems don't go away, but the Lord begins to manifest Himself in a new and powerful way. So God's goal and desire is to create, through testing, a greater and greater need for Him because He knows He can satisfy it and He alone. Now, another thing we have to realize is after the greatest victories come the greatest tests. So just because you had a great victory and you've come through the Red Sea, remember where we left them last time. They had come through the Red Sea. They had defeated the enemy. They see Pharaoh and his army floating in the water. And they're dancing and they're singing. We ended the last episode with, you know, Miriam leading them out with tambourines and dancing. And they're all dancing and praising the Lord. We're going to see tonight that it goes from dancing to grumbling in just 3 days. And let me say this. They were immature. So we need to have grace, don't we? On the immature believer, we need to have grace. Now, when we're young ourselves, we don't have as much grace. You know, it's kind of like, stop it, stop your whining. But as we get older in the Lord, we begin to have a little bit more grace and say, okay, you know what? They're young in the Lord. There's an area they need to grow here. You be gracious. And Moses was more mature in the Lord, so Moses is gracious with them, although I know these guys probably just pushed Moses to the limit. But the bottom line is that, you know, they're in a place where they were grumbling and complaining because of their immaturity. And it's amazing how quickly the immature Christian can go from rejoicing in the world to fussing at Him. You know, God, how could you? God, why did you? And we're going to see that with the children of Israel. And a lot of times after the great victories, again, come the attack. Why is that? You know, God wants to test us and God allows the enemy. Number two, the enemy will come in and attack then because he wants to steal our joy. He's come to steal, kill, and destroy. So if the Lord does something neat in your life, the enemy's right there to try to, you know, pull it away. You ever had that happen? You have the neatest blessing in your life. And then all of a sudden, you know, you get the new car or whatever. Maybe it's new to you. Maybe it's not brand new. I've never really owned a new car. Maybe some of you have, but most, you know, typically it's a car you've bought that's fairly new or whatever. Maybe it's new. And you're so excited. And God's blessed you in there. That's really neat. And you go to Kroger and that lone buggy comes across the parking lot. Day one. It doesn't hit it hard. Just boom. It's like, I don't believe it. And you look down the side. There's this beautiful, shiny new car. You just left the bar. And there's that one little dent. That's all you see. You don't see the rest of the car. You see that one little dent on the side. And the enemy's there just going, you know, gotcha. You know, thought you had some joy. Forget it, you know. So the enemy's there to do that. That's another reason that happens. But I think that one of the things this challenges us to do tonight is to really ask ourselves how much we really trust the Lord. Because when testing comes, that's when the truth comes out. Guys, you heard me say this before, and it's such a great analogy. You know, when you take that bag of tea, if you lay out a bunch of different bags of tea and you've got all the different kinds of tea, you tea drinkers, you know what I'm talking about. You have all the different brands you like. I'm not a tea drinker, but this is a great analogy. But you take all the boxes away and set them out there. Don't let anybody smell them or whatever. It's hard to really tell what that tea is. You don't really know what it is until you drop it in hot water. And once it gets in that hot water, its flavor begins to come out. That's the Christian. All of us have a flavor of where we are in the Lord, and when God heats the water up, who we are comes out. Now, there's two ways to handle that. You know, we can either say, well, this is how I am and I can't help it. Or when we see how we are when the heat heats us up, run to the Lord. Say, God, I saw that. I don't like that. You revealed things in my heart that I don't like. Change me. I want to be a different flavor. You know? And so God will do that. He's going to reveal lots of problems in their heart. And, you know, when everything's going good, it's easy to walk with the Lord. When things are going bad, that's when the true heart is revealed. But again, we have that encouragement that if we simply take it to the Lord and repent, then God takes care of it. The sad thing is about the children of Israel here is they don't repent. And here's the thing you're going to hear me repeat throughout this study, guys, because this is huge to me. Because they don't repent and let God work in their life. God knew where they were. God took them right where they were, didn't he? Have you seen that? You know, God loves us the way we are. You ever heard that? We've all heard that, right? And then we see the other part of that poster or that bumper sticker or that quotation out of a book, but he loves us too much to leave us that way. If we don't allow God to change us, how do we stay that way? The children of Israel refused to allow God to change them. Test after test, he showed them their ugly hearts. He showed them their grumbling. He showed them their complaining. He showed them their immaturity. He gave them all the opportunities to grow through the teaching of the word through Moses and the leaders that God had put over them, themselves, you know, getting in the word and prayer and all that. He gave it all to them, and yet they didn't do it. And here's what happened. Because of that, and because they didn't believe in God's power to change them, they ended up dying in the wilderness. They spent their entire life in a spiritual wilderness. I do not want to be that Christian. I don't want to be the Christian who 20 years later has the same problem I had 20 years earlier. God forbid. You hope that we would mature. If you can look back 10 years and you're the same person you were 10 years ago, something's not right. And if you can look back 20 years ago, you need to ask yourself, do I even know the Lord? Or am I just completely rebelling against him and not letting him confront me in these issues that he's trying to confront me in and change me? I don't like it any more than you guys do. I hate seeing all my flaws. I hate them. You know, they're everywhere. There's so many. How do you count them, you know? For me, anyway. And yet, God says, and that's why I throw my hands up. I say, God, I'm turning more toward the stone. If I'm going to handle more weight, I'm turning more toward you. I've got to have the architectural, spiritual design to handle this. Because I can't do this. It's greater than I am. And so, they spend 40 years there because they don't believe that God's big enough to handle the giants in the land. We'll see that. God can't defeat the giants in my life. I can never get beyond this. I can't conquer that. I don't have the ability, whatever. You know, just not believing, lack of faith, and they died in a spiritual wilderness. Well, a literal wilderness and a spiritual wilderness. And again, what a warning for us. We've got to let God work. And so tonight we're going to see a direct application for the Jews and the children of Israel. We'll also see a direct application for us as well. So let's jump into it. Remember, they're just celebrated. They're having a blast. Things are going great. As they've defeated their enemies, and now we come to the first major test. They've had lots of tests, really, I guess, in trusting God to deliver them from all their enemies. But now the first test in the wilderness, so to speak, after the deliverance through the Red Sea. And it says, so Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and then they went out into the wilderness of Shur, and they were there. They went 3 days into the wilderness and found no water. Now, do you see this? You can see the problem building here, can't you? Because a new believer and a younger believer, and even some of us that are, you know, even an older believer, we battle with the flesh, don't we? We battle with the flesh. Now think about yourself as just coming out of the world. These guys just came out of Egypt. Their flesh wants to be satisfied with what the flesh wants. Now the flesh is not going to get what it wants, and they're going to start crying. And they're going to start grumbling, and they're going to start complaining. And they go from an ocean of water 3 days earlier to now zero water in 3 days. You talk about a radical change. That is a radical change. But we're going to see because of that radical change that God threw them in, they're going to have a radical change in their emotions and their response as well. And so it's interesting, the word here, Shur, means wall. So they wandered into the wall. Isn't that interesting? We would say it this way, they just had great victory in the Lord and now they hit a wall. However, in this case, it was the spiritual wall that the enemy's going to use against them. And here's how, because they're going to be tested by the Lord to see whether their hearts, where their hearts are rather, and they're going to fail miserably. And when they hit this wall, it's going to reveal their lack of faith and their grumbling hearts. Now, when God let them hit this wall, God didn't hate them. God wasn't ready to wipe them out and say, you bunch of losers, I knew you'd do that, now forget it. No, God didn't do that. God knew this would happen. God sent them into this test so that they could see where their heart was. So that they could run to him and say, God, look at my ugly heart. Please change it. And the sad thing is they didn't do that. Now, if we run to God, it's great. But if you don't, it's trouble. You've heard the saying, you know, we either get bitter or better when the trials and testing come. And that's true for us today. If we learn to trust the Lord, even when we hit a spiritual wall, if we don't trust the Lord, we hit that spiritual wall, we don't trust him. Guys, we're going to hit a wall in our growth. We're going to hit a wall in maturity. We're going to hit a wall and be stuck in the wilderness. Again, for them, it was 40 years. So it's important to realize that they were led to this place by the Lord. Don't miss that fact. They were following the cloud. It wasn't like they took a wrong turn. So God's directing them, and this is what we need to realize, is that God will often direct us to hit a wall, even allow us or direct us to hit a wall that's in our life, a spiritual wall, something that's going to stump us to find out what our response is going to be. Again, God just heats it up and then it reveals what's inside of us. And so he needs to do that because he wants to bring the dross, that is the bad stuff, to the top and scoop it off. I remember as a coming out of the world and, you know, occasionally using foul language. I didn't know the Lord. And my friends all used foul language and I'd use foul language. And I remember right after I came to the Lord, you know, not long after that, God let some things heat up in my life. And I remember, you know, when I came to the Lord, I quit. That's it. No more foul language. I'm walking with the Lord, right? And God's up there going, you know, I mean, I appreciate your heart, but there's an area here that you've got to deal with, Mark. And I'm going to have to heat you up and let you see it. Because sometimes we don't believe it until we see it or hear it, do we? And I'll never forget, God heated me up, and all of a sudden, out comes this word that shouldn't have come out. I was crushed because I was thinking more highly of myself than I ought. I remember going away saying, I can't believe that I did that. And God began to minister to me, you know, I can't. Because I've got to heat you up to show you what's in there. You didn't, you know, what was it that put cursing in my heart? Nothing put it in your heart. It was already there. All I did was heat your heart up so you could see it. I see it from heaven. I wanted you to see it. Why? So you could bring it to me and I could scoop it away. See, when you heat the gold up, when they would do the way they would heat the gold up, all the junk would come to the top and they would scoop it off until all of it was gone, till they could see their reflection. You guys know that whole story. He does the same thing with us spiritually. He heats us up. The junk comes to the top. Here's the thing. Don't panic when the junk comes to the top. Don't condemn yourself. Don't talk about, you know, whatever. Just go to the Lord. Confess it. Say, all right, Lord, that's nasty. I didn't know that was there. The truth has been now revealed. I'm not going to pretend that I'm better than I thought I was, or I don't want to be fake here and be a hypocrite. This is the truth. There it is. Deal with it. Lord, please forgive me, number one, and now get rid of it. He does. That was the last word I ever said. That was a bad word, so to speak, you know, over 20 years ago. But the thing is, and it's not like I was such a great warrior, you know, I didn't overcome anything. I just, you know, said, Lord, you got to get rid of this. And he did. So that's how that works. So 3 days, no water. They go in the desert. There they are. You can see the whole scenario is just set up for these guys to really blow it bad. Verse 23, now when they don't trust the Lord yet. And God's got to teach them that trust. Now notice this. When they came to Marah, they could not drink the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore, the name of it was called Marah. Now, why did he call it bitter? Marah literally means bitter. So what a great name for this. I mean, it's bitter. It's bitter. Now, I don't know if it was a discolored water or just water that was poisoned because it was no good or what it was. I don't know. But again, this is going to lead them to grumble, and the grumbling really won't stop for the next 40 years. Poor Moses. I mean, I look at Moses, man, this guy, he dealt with a lot. And, you know, I'm not going to take up for Moses blowing it there at the very end after 40 years of that. But boy, I tell you, he made it a long time, didn't he? You know, that shows Moses' maturity, because to make it 40 years with that kind of church, I mean, I think he'd have found another pulpit long time before 40 years, you know. Then again, there weren't that many other churches in the wilderness, so I guess it was kind of hard to find one. But notice this. They come there, the water's bitter, they can't drink it. So here's the scenario. They're at a place, God's brought them to a bitter place, a bitter test. You with me? And now God wants to see where their heart is. You know, are they going to grumble against the pastor? Are they going to grumble against the Lord? How are they going to deal with this? There's issues that need to be dealt with in the heart. And notice verse 24, and the people complained against Moses.
Thanks for coming to the table of God's Word with Pastor Mark for his study in the book of Exodus. This Old Testament book of the Bible is an interesting one, as it's the end of one era for the people of Israel, heading into a new season for them that leads them back to their homeland. Through the events in this book, you'll learn of God's miraculous ways of bringing people to freedom. Just looking at the seemingly impossible things that God brought about through the book of Exodus helps you realize that He's a God of power, authority, and incredible majesty. The Israelites experienced this firsthand, but it didn't take long for them to forget what he'd done. Can you relate? Perhaps you've seen God work in your life in amazing ways, but it doesn't take long to be back in a place where you feel like God isn't working in your life. If that's so, we'd really like to be a support for you in prayer. If you go to thewaymedia.net, you'll find a questions and comments link. Go ahead and fill out this form, and we'd like to know what we can be praying for, as well as any thoughts or comments about what you've heard today. You can also listen to additional teachings at thewaymedia.net. That's all the time we have for today, but Pastor Mark has more to share from the miracle-filled book of Exodus. We hope you'll join us again and learn and grow in ways that God speaks to you personally related to the things written down in Exodus. We're thankful for you taking the time today to listen, and we look forward to you joining us the next time we come to the table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.